You're listening to the TrekMate Family Network.
The Battle Bridge is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com.
Worf, Solus, Sue, report to the Battle Bridge. I'll join you in a moment.
Ensign, secure connector levels.
Crusher, Carteno, Gleason, report to the Battle Bridge.
Mr. Data, Mr. Worf, I have a special mission for you.
Note in ship's log that at this start time, I'm transferring command to the Battle Bridge.
Okay, I'm ready when you guys are.
Well, you're the one that starts, Lou. So.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't have any text to read unless you want me to just wing it.
No, I'll do it.
Hey,
What's up? You're listening to The Battle Bridge, a TNG podcast where we discuss everything about Star Trek, The Next Generation. And tonight's episode is Second Chances. And this is our first time recording it, so if anything goes wrong, we'll have a... Say it with me, guys. Second chance.
What?
Yeah. I'm Luke from Nebraska.
Yeah, I'm James from London. But did this episode really introduce any second chance?
Yes.
It did not. It didn't really. I mean, having an extra mouth to feed isn't a second chance. It's an additional expense, isn't it?
Oh, you're
okay.
Oh, and this is Matt from Tennessee, by the way.
Hi, Matt from Tennessee. Is this not? Was there not a second chance in there?
For whom? For who?
I think more or less it refers to the relationship, I think,
yes.
Is really what it refers to.
But it also refers to the fact that he got off that ship or that station or whatever it was he was on. That's his second chance at life, or else he would have died there lonely.
No, I mean, both for Thomas and for Will Riker, they do not understand anything of this second chance. I do agree that Troy has an additional chance to make hay with a Riker and a non-prescriptive Riker, but that's it. They should have called the episode something like, I found a clone of myself down on a ship or down on a station, and he was very angry.
Yeah, all right. Well, you know something? It's a good thing we have a family-friendly show here, because then I would have thought, well, maybe she can get on with both of them. That would be an interesting three-way. But
no, Commander Riker is just friends. She said that.
Yes, that's right. They're just friends.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay, so Matt from Tennessee. Where in Tennessee are you?
East Tennessee, close to Knoxville.
All right. Knoxville. It's good to have you on. Let me try and find the last time we had you was True Q, it looks like.
Now, was it that far back?
But that's this season, though, right?
It's this season, but it was still far back.
Well, to be fair, I was on for most of the first half of the season, so...
That's this season, but it was in 2012. that was when Obama was in his first term still, right?
Huh?
Oh, if only.
There's too much noise in the background.
What? Obama's first term. That's when we had Matt on
last. Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah, he was celebrating.
Those were the good old days.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wait. No. You were on for Rascals. Oh, wait. No, you were on for a Fistful of Datas. Oh, and
no.
You were on for Quality of Life.
Yes, I think I was due a break as it was anyway. So we're good. We're good.
Yeah. I figured it was going to be you or Chris. Somebody was going to take over the show, but then you backed off. Okay.
We'll kind of let everybody else get a chance.
Yeah. Not too many people took it, I'll say that. But we have a nice tight group of people who come on the show. I like that, but... Okay, so anyway, let's go ahead and talk about second chances, if you would, please.
Oh, hang on. Before we do, Lou, should we just also point out the fact that we have had our Picard discussion on hold for months now because we keep on running into people that are not watching it. So, Matt, you up to date with Picard?
Yes, I watched the whole season.
Okay. See, Lou, we have someone that we can talk to.
Let me find my notes on Picard.
We managed to squeak it in right before the world ended, so yeah.
Good job. let's see here. Frame of mind.
Anyway, what were your overall thoughts, Matt, on Picard? Like a fan or not?
Well, I'm a Star Trek fan to begin with, so I think I was just predestined to like it. But I really enjoyed it. They definitely did not go in the direction that I thought they were going to.
In what way? Tell me.
Well, it wasn't your typical, you weren't on a Federation ship. You didn't have a normal crew. You weren't wearing the uniforms. There weren't, you know, it was really much the ragtag group of people that just kind of find themselves thrown together. So yeah, it's just different from anything that they've tried to do before.
Hmm.
And I personally thought it worked pretty well for them. What did you guys think?
So I have to, when you say ragtag group of people, I've just got flashbacks of the voyage home with everyone out of uniform wandering the streets of San Francisco. So I think it was such a wasted opportunity not to have Data, not to have Dassoon as Law. The dude's clearly Law. He comes down, they beam down to the planet, they find this suspicious Data-looking guy. They say, what's your name? His name is something like Alterus Egress Soon. It's like the worst fake name you can come up with. I was convinced that guy was Law, and I'm disappointed that in the finale, I think the first half of the finale,
mm-hmm.
led me to believe that something bad was going to happen. The second part of the finale kind of was a little bit of a letdown in that, A, the dude wasn't Law, or so they say, and it all kind of, it didn't quite end with the end of Civilization, which is what I was kind of expecting, right? So the artificial intelligent people kind of popped in, and then we said, no, we're good. And then they just popped back out again. And I kind of thought it was going to be more of a threat than that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I was trying to remember what it reminded me of. I can't think of that, but I seem to recall a movie or another show where you could see the big bad about to come through the window or whatever, and then something happens and they shut it down and they're blocked off.
Yeah, they do that in Avengers. I actually haven't seen, I've only seen one of the Avengers film. I'm not a big Marvel guy, but it's either in Avengers or it's in a Thor or it's in an Iron Man film, mm-hmm. where they basically have the interspatial kind of like rift that there's like, you know, an infinite armada on the other side that's going to come and sort you out. I've got a couple of nitpicks against the show in general, I should say, but it's been so long that I've kind of moved on, to be honest.
Well, yeah, don't get me wrong. Yeah, there's some nitpicks that I have about it, too. But as a general overall impression, I thought it was all right.
Hmm. Well, if it ain't Worf, it's going to be Data to have another family member that nobody ever knew or heard about.
Yeah.
And
the guy was Law. He was clearly Law.
Well, he called himself Dr. Alton Intego Soon.
Yeah, okay, tell me that's not the most fake name you've put on a fake driving license. Come on.
Alton but Indigo. If he was Lore, he couldn't help himself but to be, you know, to act like Lore.
Yeah, yeah. And I quite like the planet of, well, I mean, I'm saying I'm going to quite like the planet of Data's. I thought it was fun that they were there. And you had all, okay, I didn't quite get the twin issue. I think the twin issue was a bit weird. But I did like the fact that these guys were walking around and then some of them had been dusted up to look like a golden shiny version of Data.
Varying degrees of artificial look about them.
Yeah, and actually I think the only one that, I mean, was it only the, Soji that was the kind of like a proper human looking version? Because everyone else kind of had the yellow eyes.
Right.
And the age of these players, I thought Data looked the worst.
What do you mean?
Data in these visions that Picard has, and then eventually in Okay, I may have been lost, but was he in a computer program where Data was there?
Yeah, okay, so you didn't need to have Data as a vision or Data as Data as like the essence of Data in the little box at the end. You really didn't. I've said it before and I'll say it again. The Data Picard relationship is not the strongest relationship out of TNG, right? We've just watched an episode of TNG. Do you have any impression that Picard gives, anything? He probably likes Data, would rather Data not be dead. But they're not close, right? That's not the relationship there.
Mm-mm. No, I
thought so.
You didn't see it much in the show. I think you see it more in the movies.
Well, you see it in the movies because at this point, you need Picard. you need Picard, and you need Data in order to get the fans. And it's clear that when you went to do the movies, right, the amount that Brent Spiner and Patrick Stewart were being paid was, these were the main people of the show. In fact, I didn't. By that point, didn't actually Spiner get credited ahead of the rest of the crew? I seem to recall that he kind of moved from, being last placed based on alphabetical to being, second billing. But realistically, the reason why Data is so prominent in the films is that people want to go and see a film about TNG, and the Data and the character they like is Data.
Right.
No one's going to a Star Trek film, right, and hoping it's the romantic Dr. Crusher episode.
Hey, speak for yourself. I was looking forward to that. I was waiting R-rated. For the ghost to make another appearance, and it never did. That was disappointing.
imagine if you did have like 20 films or so that you did. You went up to one, you'd watch it, and then you'd come back and go, "Hang on a second." The Data wasn't in that episode. It was mainly about Geordi.
What do you guys think about them bringing back 7 of 9?
Oh, that was great. Okay, hang on. So I'm not convinced that it's actually 7 of 9 as the character 7 of 9. I'm not entirely sure how that the arc of that character got to where she was at. I read a lot of stuff online that seemed to suggest that she's now into girls, which I didn't necessarily pick up, but maybe I just don't pick these things up from the show. I thought that if they had done that, that was either subtle or at least subtle enough for me not to have missed that. But if we just park the 7 of 9 thing and talk about Geri Ryan, she's awesome.
God,
I think she was the best part of the entire series. I thought that her performance was great.
Oh, they dressed her properly.
Well, I don't care how they dress her.
I did. I mean, she was about 5 times hotter than 7 of 9, and she's 20 years older.
Well, they got her out of the cat suit into something more reasonable. Right. So you can take her character more seriously.
Yes.
So they got her out of the cat suit and closed her into your league. That's what I thought she was.
I just thought she was better, and she is way hotter than she ever was in Voyager, to me. Now,
and she was good. She was very good.
Talk about massive spoilers! If you guys don't know this, shut it off quick. But what do you think Starfleet's going to do when they find out that Admiral Picard is a synth? Wow.
Well, that was the other cop out. I was like, you put him in a robot body, but then he's like, yeah, but you're still gonna like only live for another 20 years or so. You're still gonna get sick. You're still gonna go. I was like, what's the point of putting me in a robot body then? Come on.
That makes sense.
It's like all of the downside, but none of the upside.
Right. Yeah.
Do I have super strength now? No, you don't.
Does he still have arthritis?
It just seemed like such a wasted opportunity there.
Oh, sad.
They should have at least given him like one wish, right? So one superpower that he could have.
Yeah, right. What do you think he would pick? Hair, maybe? No. Wasted on that.
I will say, I think Patrick Stewart had a really, really fun time with doing some of these episodes. Which one was it? Stardust City Rag, when he had to pretend to be that with the French guy.
Oh yeah, that had been hard for him.
I think he had a lot of fun doing some of these.
Well, I think it's clearly like a Patrick Stewart vehicle, right? It's I don't think he's doing stuff outside of his comfort.
Right. No, I think he's definitely calling the shots and saying what he wants to do, and they're just saying, "Hey, go for it."
And interested to him.
So, what did you think about Captain Wrecker coming out of nowhere? Oh, I knew you weren't going to let this go.
I can honestly say I was not surprised that he was going to come back. At the end of the episode that he was in before, he says, "Well, I'm still on active reserve." Mm-hmm. I'm like, "Oh, well, I know what that means then."
Actually, about that, let me just—I'm going to nitpick here. Captain Riker or Admiral Riker, whatever it was, good. Him turning up, good. Considering that we saw him like four episodes before, he there's certainly something to be said about, you know, once you can get a man into a suit, how much better they look. Because he looked like he was 10 years younger than he was four episodes prior. So, you know, he did brush down very, very well. Mm-hmm. The ships weren't good. They looked bad. I didn't like the Starfleet ships. They just didn't... I don't know. Were they not? It looked like they were cut and... Every single one of them was a cut and paste of the last. It didn't seem to give either the familiarity that we expect, but also it was... I don't know. It just didn't quite hit the nail for me.
That's a common complaint that I'd heard too, and I think so. I think so too. Yeah, that's something a lot of people are saying. But you got to weigh it against the. It is 20 years in the future, so we're not really going to be seeing the Excelsior class. We're not going to see the Galaxy.
I want an Excelsior ship.
I did too, but
I want an Excelsior ship from 140 years in the past, still sitting there, that has, you know, that's still not quite been upgraded.
I wanted the fleet like what you see at the end of DS9. I want, all the various different ships. Yeah, that really did strike me too, that it was really a copy paste of the same ship. I thought it was, I don't know, it could have been a lot better.
And the other thing I'm gonna complain about is, well, I mean, maybe it's not worth kind of going into it in depth. I think a lot of the characters that were there, by the end of it, I kind of thought, well, this guy was just not relevant in any way, shape, or form. So you could have removed a lot of the characters. So I've got no idea what the Vulcan... Yeah, Elnor, honestly, couldn't care less. Care less about him, couldn't care less about Officer Woman, couldn't care less about the pilot, couldn't care less about the woman that ended up murdering Maddox, who then apparently is now everyone's best friend. I mean, these people didn't go on enough of an arc, in my opinion, to justify it. The Romulan lady, did she die in the end? I can't even remember. But did
fell
Seven
down that
kill her?
Bottomless Borg ship. Corridor.
I mean, it seems, you know, whatever, complete throwaway. So I think a lot of these characters were throwaway. The worst though was the. I had to learn this through reading a review of the episode after I had watched it. And I didn't even realize that the Romulan commander on the fleet was the Starfleet head. I missed that.
They glossed over that.
What,
suddenly,
what was that about?
She was the Vulcan head of security, and then suddenly she was the Romulan commander. Yeah, that didn't really go into much detail on that, how that happened.
And also, I kind of felt that, well, I mean, you know, there was no acknowledgement of that happening. I think, in fairness, there was like a throwaway line by Riker that kind of got a little bit upset. But, you know, this seems like a more significant turn, right? It should have been like a major plot. It almost felt like they needed a commander for the Romulan fleet. And they happened to have someone already that was in kind of Romulanish makeup, and they went, "Yes, you'll do." I didn't get that. I didn't get any sense of menace or any sense of, you know, what was that woman's story arc? I think she was with the people that had the bad vision thing that made people go crazy. Which, at the end of the day, is, hey, you better be careful about synthetic life. I mean, really? Is that it? I mean, talk about Romulans not being able to hold their ale if that drives them nuts.
Yeah.
That and okay. Completely wasted were those two Romulans that were living with Picard at the beginning.
They just
disappear. They stay back there and we never hear from them again. I like those characters and I wanted to see more of them. And they were just gone.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a nitpick that I have as to why was that Romulan woman Irish? I mean, so the Irish accent is very common and it's very placeable, at least for English viewers. I imagine it's similar in America, but this idea that we've had no Irish Romulans, as far as I can tell, maybe I'm wrong, and then we land the most Irish Romulan kind of in history, and then in addition to that, when you have the brother and sister duo, you've got the most English Romulans that have ever been portrayed as well. In particular, I think the woman was doing a really English accent, despite I think she's actually Australian or New Zealander. But you know, it's almost as they went back to like the Lord of the Rings kind of adaptation of, well, these people are kind of elvish and surely they sound like English people. Okay.
You're thinking too hard about this.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit, but why not?
No.
I have a problem with is there a problem keeping the Romulan consistently Romulan? Why do they have to look Romulan?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know that technically, originally in, what was it? in the seventh episode of TOS.
No, Balance of Terror.
Balance of Terror. Of course, they were, they weren't Romulan as you come to know them in TNG. But they were like in three TOS episodes. And also, if you have a problem with how the Romulans looked in TOS, just wait until you see Kor Kang and Koloth. So,
well, I think there was an offhand comment that explains that some of the Romulans are from the north, so that's why they look different.
Okay, so I thought that was a joke and a reference. So famously, Doctor Who came back into the Doctor Who was a television show that they had in the it actually predates Star Trek. So there was a TV show that had science fiction-y kind of thing that we had in the UK in the early 60s. It then went through into the 80s. It then got cancelled in the 80s. It then came back a little bit in the late 90s, I think it was. But then they kind of rebooted it in, I'm probably going to say 2010, but maybe it was a little earlier, maybe a little later. And when the actor...
2006, yeah.
Was 2006. Okay. The actor they got to play, which was Christopher Eccleston, was a he played with a northern accent. And there's a bit in the, I think it's in the first episode, where one of the ladies asked him, "Well, hang on, how can you be an alien? You sound like you're from the north, as in the north of England." And he goes, "Lots of planets have a north." And I kind of thought that this was like a little bit of a nod towards that, because
it could be.
That's kind of like a relatively famous line to get out of any of this continuity thing. It's like, oh yeah, those Romulans are from the north. And they were supposed to be dumb northerners, weren't they?
I think that's what it was. Yeah, they're thick-skulled or whatever it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, then. I guess that's the end of Picard. We finally got to talk about it.
But
what did you think?
I was going to say, it was watching Picard and seeing 7 of 9. It led me to do a complete rewatch of Voyager this past month. So I'm all caught up on that again.
Why?
That's astonishing. A full rewatch in a month.
Yeah.
Wow.
Sat down and watched 5 or 6 episodes every night. Yeah, it didn't take long.
But how? Where did you get 5-6 episodes worth of time?
What else am I doing?
I mean, in complete fairness, we're going to be a couple of episodes in by the time we finish tonight. So one thing that I've done whilst we've been kind of locked in our houses, is I've actually started finally to organize some of my digital collection of Star Trek, because I ended up ripping a whole load of stuff in the past, but I then changed my NAS drive, and now I'm basically just consolidating and doing things like that. Anyway, as a result, for the first time ever, I now have high-definition TOS, Enterprise, and TNG on there. And I was basically going through it, and I was looking through all of this stuff. And as I was doing it, I was realizing I've not watched, you know, whether it's Voyager, or whether it's DS9, or whether it's Enterprise, I've not watched this stuff in so long. And I really wanted to sit down and watch, you know, the one that got me and I broke on was, you know, season 4 of Enterprise as I'm going through it. And that was such a great season. I mean, Lou, I don't know when we're going to get there, but there's such good Star Trek out there that that I don't know if I'm ever going to get to. But I do look forward to being able to revisit.
Okay.
Well, Lou, what did you think about Picard?
I like the ending. I like the last two episodes. I thought they were pretty good. Big dogfight in space wasn't that bad. I don't know how the bad guy could just, you know, give up and turn around and run away, but they did. Picard of synth, it's hard to deal with, but another soon, why not? Just keep pumping out soons. But other than that, you know, like you said earlier, it's been so long. I don't remember a lot of them, but, you know, and we only watch them once, whereas we're doing a podcast on a show that we've probably watched dozens of times already. So it's kind of hard for me to retain much about Picard because we just haven't seen it for so long.
Well, I will say it was a good way to get Brent Spiner a part on there where he didn't have to put the makeup on.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was so much better in this. He's so much better in this role than he is in. And he's so much better doing the Soong than doing a poor imitation of Data.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunately what he ends up having to do.
That's what it felt like. Yes.
You have to do your greatest hits as Data. You know, no one wants to bring Data back and him not to do his, you know, his standard lines. And I think that when you give him a new character, you completely free up Brent Spiner to do his thing. And he was great.
Yeah. Oh, he was great. Yeah.
One thing I was going to just mention, and I know that I'm fighting, the progress of civilization here, but hey, look, if at this moment in time I'm not able to possibly talk about how we might want to change things, then I don't know when I can make this suggestion. I really want us to move away from the season-long, continuous 20-hour film format.
I miss the standalone episodes too.
Yeah, yes. And it doesn't have to be standalone, as in it will be like, you know, one and done in 24 minutes, and that's it. There's no continuity. It doesn't have to be as stark as that. The stuff that they had on DS9, the stuff that they frankly even had on Voyager and Enterprise, it was all fine. It was standalone. Battlestar Galactica was standalone, but also
overarching story. Hold on. Whatever's happening in the background of one of you two was like ice cubes hitting cups. It's so overpowered. I can't hear what you're saying, Doc.
Oh, sorry. That was me. I didn't think it was that loud.
All right. I was just saying that, you know, there have been series that have managed to move away from ridiculously episodic television towards something a little bit better. Battlestar, DS9, even last series of Enterprise was perfect in that sense. I unfortunately don't think I'll ever watch Picard again. So it almost feels like it's a one and done experience, which, considering that I'm sitting here thinking, you know, let me go for the 12th time through TNG, I think you lose something by not making it. Episodic's not the right word, but I think it is. It's digestible in a non-binging capacity. I think you have to be able to process it at a different level than these season-long story arcs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dominion War last week, Dominion War this week, Dominion War next week. Yeah.
Yeah, but the Dominion War was never, there was never a it wasn't a Dominion war
all the time.
Know, 4.5 years, right?
Right.
I think that the worst that they got, and when I say worst, I think season 5 into 6, they did one episode going into then a 4-parter or a 5-parter on the other side.
Mm.
And then the final ramp up to the end of the S9, I think, was like 8 episodes. That was very much tied back and forth.
Right.
But even within those 8 episodes, right, you had Dogs of War, which is a Ferengi episode in the middle of it. And I don't even know if that's the one that also has the Section 31 stuff. But yeah, even within those streams, you had very different episodes. You know, halfway through some of the Dominion War stuff, you had the one about the spaceship that they captured. You had a lot more stuff going on. A lot more
right.
stuff.
Part of the arc, but you could watch the episodes individually and not be completely lost.
Okay.
And maybe it's that each episode, to a certain extent, and okay, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm just now looking back as an old man complaining, but I think each episode had a certain amount of character, a different feel to it. So, you know, even though it was in the middle of the Dominion arc, it was doing things in a different way and having things done in a different way, whether it's like the tension towards the end of series 5 of the S9 when you're having to give up the space station, or when that, you know, that gets flipped and you retake, or you know all of that stuff. It's very much a different feeling each time you watch it, which I think I mentioned this with Picard when we started talking about it, Lou, many months ago. It felt like Picard was like, you know, full pedal to the metal, all systems go, head, you know, keep going. Yes, they paused for diversions here and there, mainly to pick up people for reasons that I'm not entirely sure why we needed to. But it felt much more like, you know, single directional, single focus.
Okay.
I'm going to shut up now.
Well, then. Okay, so basically, if we were to rate season 1 of Picard, where are we at with it, Doc?
Oh. Okay, so what we say, it's not the best first series of Star Trek, if we want to rate it like that.
Okay.
I think it's better than the first season of Discovery. I think that's probably true. I think it's this odd one. I think that, you know, when it works, it can work very, very well. I think that there's a problem with the format that means it's going to be hard to revisit. I haven't mentioned it this time, but I am frustrated that we have moved Star Trek away from something you used to be able to watch with the kids. And I'm talking here about my 4 and my 7-year-old that is now about only really being able to be watched by myself. And I don't see why that is necessary. And I think that, frankly, it's harder to do something that can appeal across generations, across age groups, than it is to make something edgy where someone decides to cut off a Romulan's head for literally no reason. I mean, there's literally no reason for that other than like shock value. And, you know, and I know you can point at things in the back catalog of Trek and say, well, what about when do you want your kids watching O'Brien being tortured or something like that?
When they blew up Remick.
Hang on, the thing about blowing up Remick, I did see that there was a lot of, you know, when people said, do you mind not, you know, pulling someone's eyeball out on Picard? And they said, well, what about Remick on Conspiracy? But it was a completely different tone to that scene. And I think that anyone that just puts that across and thinks that that is equivalent as being slightly disingenuous. Now, having said all of this, right, with Remick, we didn't have that kind of thing come back. And I don't think they would have been, I'm sure they weren't able to be pumping out that kind of level of, I'm going to say splattitude on a weekly basis.
No. All right. So 1 to 5.
3.5.
Oh,
something
doctor.
Like that.
3.5.
Yeah.
I have changed you.
Yeah, because the thing is, I don't want to go 4, because I think if I go four, it's better than I think. That would be me giving a false impression. But also, I didn't think three is necessarily fair either.
Okay, 3.5.
Yeah, put it down. It's not the worst thing that's happened to me in the last 2 weeks because I have had dental pain.
Well, that's high praise.
Wow.
It's okay. Better than dental pain.
That should be an extra point right there.
Yeah, well.
3.5. Okay.
If I had to choose.
How about you, Matt? What do you? What would you give the first season as?
Oh, I think I'm right there with him. I think I'm thinking about 3.5 as well. Like you said, it's not the greatest first season. Well, I don't know even if I would even want to rate first seasons or not. It's so completely different from everything that's come before it that it's hard to really compare it to the other tracks. You know, we were on the last episode of the season before we even saw a proper Federation ship.
Okay.
So yeah, it's just so much. It's so different. I guess that's what I'm saying. So it's hard to really compare it, but you know,
and yes, we can compare first seasons because as I look at first season of TNG, my overall rating was 2.71. Doc's was 2.77, and our guest came in loving Star Trek at 3.61.
Oh, man.
Okay, so Lou, I'm going to have to just, you know, once again, break my word and come in and enter into this discussion. I don't think there's any real serious debate about which is the best first season of Star Trek. And I will fight anyone to the death who disagrees. The best first season of Star Trek is TOS.
And what?
The only people that don't
think that haven't watched it.
You go through that. You go through Where No One Has Gone Before, you go through Balance of Terror, you go through Errand of Mercy, you go through City on the Edge of Forever, yeah. You go through... Okay. There's a whole load of stuff in the middle there that's great. Man Trap's great. Enemy Within is great. In fact, Enemy Within kind of goes into this episode that we're going to talk about it soon.
Not yet.
What they did with the Menagerie was great at the time. You know, there are only about like three dud episodes in there, and that's towards the end of the season. TOS is surprisingly good, and it's surprisingly consistent in the first season. I think this first season's better than the second, and it's obviously clearly better than the third. And whenever you get the subsequent... And also, the first season of TOS was like 29 episodes, all running like 50 minutes long. It's a huge behemoth of Trek that we got. And I know that, you know, people that grew up with TNG find it hard to go back. But I've always been surprised how few people seem to acknowledge the absolute reality that TOS season one was the best season one of Trek.
Yeah, it didn't all suck salt. But yeah.
Well, it started out that way.
Yeah.
the very, very first episode, the Man Trap, I think is what it was. Yeah, that one was rough. But yeah, season one of TOS, yeah, I agree, absolutely. It's the best season one of Trek out there.
Okay, so I saw an interview with Leonard Nimoy, and he said the reason why it sucked, number one, was they had made quite a bit of episodes during that time, but they chose that one as their, their intro. I don't know what it is. What's it called? The pilot.
Well, first one that goes, yeah.
Yeah, they chose that one. And he said that was the stupidest thing they did because there were so many good episodes after that one that they could have selected. But they chose that
one. I'm not going to necessarily watch it. Not necessarily going to hate on the Man Trap. I'm actually just looking through the list. I think Charlie X sucks, to be perfectly honest with you. And Mudswomen is great. Same with Miri as well. That does take
bonk on the head.
Yeah, I have to admit that. But look, you know, What a Little Girl's Made Of is super. Dagger of the Mind, Corbinite Maneuver is good. Conscience of the King is good. With a great message, especially in times of crisis. Galileo 7's great. Arena's great. Squire of Gothos is great. We've obviously got Space Seed. A Taste of Armageddon. I think that's one of the best TOS episodes there is, and it's a clear kind of retelling of the Vietnam conscription. Great stuff being put onto primetime TV. We've got, you know, The Devil in the Dark. We've got Errand of Mercy. Got City on the Edge of Forever. I mean, does anything come close to that list?
Boy, it's hard to believe that was all first season.
That's all first season.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, now that I'm looking at all this, yeah.
Now, I have to say, I think I've made this comment before in other episode. I think I did this in 10 Forward back in the day. And I think it was on this episode. But I don't think Space Seed's that great an episode. I think it's overrated based on the fact that it became Wrath of Khan. I think had they picked up a different villain, we might be going on about how great Mudd's Women is, because The Wrath of Mudd was a particularly good feature film.
Wrath of Mudd. That would have been fascinating. Okay. Okay, guys, we need to get into second chances here.
What?
Oh, we got you.
Oh, right. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Forget about that. Okay. Part two, coming today? Up next in part two of this episode.
I was actually stalling you guys. I was watching it while we were talking. So this...
Oh, you got through the whole thing, didn't you? And you accidentally let it run into the next one, so you got 15 minutes of that, too. All right. So my thing about Picard, I agree with you guys. I actually said 3.5. So I was just giving you crap about it. But yeah, no, I agree. What I couldn't understand was Doc giving anything a half rating because...
Yeah.
How many times have we heard it?
Yep.
I've heard it so many times. I don't do half ratings. Yeah, and you also don't give 7 out of 5s either. But you did, so it's okay.
I give 7 out of 9s.
7 into 9s. So, second chances. All right. I don't even know what... I don't think we even got the synopsis. Okay, so the synopsis for tonight's episode
is... I haven't gotten that far yet.
No. The Enterprise finds a second Will Riker on a planet that he helped evacuate 8 years ago.
That's such a sucky synopsis.
Okay.
Who writes these things?
How about this? The crew of the Enterprise beamed down to get data off this... station that's on a planet that has a ship or something like that. They called it the USS. What was it called?
The Potemkin.
Potemkin. Okay. And, you know, Riker was on that ship. Boy, he just barely made it out. Oh, goodness gracious. Yes. And when they beam him down, all of a sudden, Riker walks in the door. How's that? Is that better?
Yep. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. This is the 24th. Season of second of 24th
season. It went long, didn't it?
Yeah. You know, from the time we started on season 1, episode 1, yes, 24 seasons could have gone by. 24th episode of the 6th season of Star Trek The Next Generation. First aired on May 24th, 1993. It was teleplay by Rene Echeverria. Story by Michael Medlock, and it was directed by the Visor, LeVar Burton. Good job here.
Yes, it was, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, how about guest stars for this episode? How about guest stars? Are there any? Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Dr. So Faye Jemison as Palmer. Hold on.
Yeah, who is that?
Oh, we'll get there.
Okay.
I have it in my notes. We'll get
on. And also, Jonathan Frakes as Lieutenant Thomas Riker. And I don't even see the computer on this one. So, Majel Barrett stayed out. So, what were you going to say before? Oh, yeah, Lieutenant Palmer. Oh, yeah, okay. What do we think about this episode? Huh? What do we think, guys? What do we think? Matt, you go first. What are your thoughts?
Well, like what James was saying before, this is an enemy within type situation. Suddenly there's two of them, and he has to confront his inner demons. No, I actually, this one was on my favorites when it first aired. I don't know, I guess I liked the concept of, you know, what would you like yourself if you were to meet yourself suddenly? And it's kind of an interesting thing to think about.
Yeah. Yeah, that may be a little strange.
Okay. What did you think?
I'd be embarrassed.
Well, yeah.
Okay, so Lou, should I go next?
Yeah, go ahead if you wish.
Okay, so I've been on record that I don't like Riker, and this episode has two Rikers in it. We also have the ridiculous situation where Troy seems to be, you know, debating whether or not she should go for another go at the Riker, which is absolutely ludicrous considering how far out of her league Riker is. And certainly Riker from 8 years ago is, wow. No. So despite that, I really like this episode. I really enjoy this, and I like the concept. I think as a concept, this is an interesting question that's asked, and I think they kind of, you know, they explore lots of different facets to it. It's not just the guy doesn't end up evil by the end of the episode. He might end up evil a little later on once he's got the goatee, but today he's not evil. And I think it's a very kind of, you know, very human story. Obviously, clearly set in a sci-fi, you know, a construct whereby you can get basically your younger self brought up to speed, up to present day. But I've always enjoyed this one. I think people get a bit iffy with the latter TNG, especially because very quickly you end up with lots of people having lots of clones or family members that they've never met or things like that turning up towards the latter season. And that's particularly true of season 7, but I think that a lot of people criticize this episode for being the, here's another Riker. But I don't think this deserves that kind of criticism. I think this is a good episode.
Oh, good. Okay. All right. Well, for me, I says that anyone who ever said they don't get enough of the beard of power, you know, a.k.a. Riker, just calm down because you're going to get it tonight. And I'm sure Robert Beltran would have loved to have something like this as Chakotay because, well, they neutered him on episode 2 and he just got worse as a series went on. And what's funny is I like early Chakotay, but later Chakotay, like Beltran said himself, he just kind of phoned it in for the rest of the series. He just didn't have anything for it.
Well, no, I've said it before that if it had been my choice, Thomas Riker would have been the commander on Voyager 2.
That would have been interesting.
I would have loved to have seen that.
But, oh, yeah. Okay. All right, so Riker at his best, taking on Riker, who's a little rusty, but still, you know, better than your average Riker. But we only get to see him one more time after this episode. And then there's another missed opportunity, and that's breaking him out of a Cardassian jail. That would have been fun. So, okay, we have another swinging jazz night on the ship featuring Commander Riker and his trombone. How about any request? What's Nightbird? Is that a real song or is that something they made up?
I don't know, but I think Troy is just evil for suggesting it.
Yeah.
Watch this. He's going to fall on his face.
Yeah. He's been trying this for 35 years. Oh, boy. Okay, yeah, well.
And I thought that was going to come back, too, because she says that he's been working on it for 10 years. Yeah. I thought it was going to come back to be like where Thomas Riker had mastered it, but it never came back to anything.
that would have been the best closing sequence because he already hands over the trombone. He picks it up. He goes, "Oh yeah, I've been practicing." he plays Nightbird. And at that point, Troy goes, "You know, sod it. Let's go to the Gandhi together." That's how you end the episode.
Right. All right. But as soon as he gets to his solo part, Data calls him away. So we'll never know. The Enterprise has found a missing ship, the Potemkin, which Riker served on when he was a lowly lieutenant.
That's not what happened.
I don't know.
They go back to
it may as well have then whatever.
And that's what I was telling you earlier. For some reason, I've never been able to sort this out. The USS Potemkin, is that a ship or is it a
it's
station?
The ship that he was on. It was the ship that he was on.
And is that where... Okay, so he was on the Potemkin, but now he's stranded on this space station.
Yeah, was it Nevala 4? Or what was it called?
Something like that. That sounds about right.
There are Nevalas, Nevadas, and all sorts. Neandras. So I can't quite remember which one it was, but it starts with an N, three syllables.
Well, don't forget Nelvana, too.
Nelvana. Maybe that was that.
Yes. All right. So Riker, Data, go ahead.
Yeah, did this make sense? I mean, was this base just there and then this planet experienced some sort of thing that suddenly was blocked off? Or did build this station within these, like, 20-minute time periods every 8 years?
Well, maybe they beamed everything down in their 8 minutes that they had and then took the next 8 years to build it.
So I had no thought about that. It's yeah. You don't get access very often. Now, did they not mention that surely something happened to the orbit of the planet or something like that that caused pain and knocked things to make this very convoluted situation plausible?
If they said it, I didn't catch it. I was listening for it and I didn't notice.
No, it doesn't matter. So Riker, Data, Worf, and Nurse Ogawa. Interesting enough why they sent the nurse down. They beam down to find that somebody is alive on the ship. A poor soul that didn't get evacuated in time. Nope. It's Will Riker, who grew an amazingly similar facial hair as did the first Riker.
They should have shaved him.
They should have.
He should have been clean-shaven in this episode.
Yes, yes, because, I mean, it makes no sense to me that they both decided to grow the same, almost the same beard. Now, what they did for one Riker to the other Riker, the Lieutenant Riker got a couple more pieces of hair in different places that Commander Riker doesn't have. So, obviously, they just stuck a couple things on, but...
Yes, yeah, so I noticed that, and I only noticed that this time, which I'm going to put it down to the fact I was watching it in HD, because I never noticed it before. I mean, having said that, right, I would not expect... You beam down to a space station, a station there. You've basically had Thomas Riker living in a cave for the last 8 years, and you want him to be the one that's clean-shaven.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's not going to work.
He's still wearing his uniform.
All torn up, but still, he's wearing it. Why would he wear his uniform like that?
Or in complete fairness, right, the amount of weight that Riker's put on since season one, you know, the replicator broke. he must have been on, you know, double meals a day when down in the space station, right?
That's what I was wondering, is what was he eating? If the replicators have been down, it didn't look like he could grow very much, but I don't know, maybe.
Yeah, I think he broke the replicator.
Or he just ate leftovers of whatever they left.
He said the replicator ran out of juice 2 weeks ago. So good thing you turned up.
Easily. Well, we could fix that for you. Then we'll just leave you here. Okay. So, you know, I can't imagine being alone for 8 years like that. What about you? I mean, what did he do?
How can you survive being stuck inside for, you know, weeks, years?
Do you think he had his own Wilson ball?
I would imagine. I would think he would, but he seems surprisingly
been a spike in Wilson balls recently.
He seems surprisingly well adjusted for having been isolated for that long.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I can't believe he wasn't, like, hearing voices for the last 5 years, talking to himself.
Or assuming that these people here now were figments of his imagination or something.
Yeah. Did the sonic... obviously the sonic showers had to work because he looked pretty good for 8 years without a shower. I mean, did they have a holodeck?
Thank you. They used to have a holodeck, but he used it all up.
Yeah. He used his holodeck rations. Oh, man.
Yeah, the holodeck hasn't worked since the third weekend.
Plus another thing. Okay, so why do we find, like, let's say, the Janolan crashed 80 years ago on this Dyson sphere? Why does it still have power?
Why would it have power?
It's not batteries.
Where are they getting it from? Where do they get the power from?
We get it from the sun.
No.
What do you mean, no?
Oh, no, we don't get... No, that's based... He's the only one on this planet on a station for 8 years. How did he keep the power reserves going?
Geothermal.
Had to be something. Maybe he had a bicycle in engineering that he kept riding, which is why he was in, you know, pretty good shape. Had a Riker tummy there for a bit. But anyway, the point is... I can't understand how everything in that station could be still running for 8 years. I mean, the battery has to run out eventually.
Isn't pretty much everything in the Star Trek universe fusion powered?
Yeah, I guess so.
Or, I don't know, antimatter or whatever. I would imagine that they're long, you know, that they're meant for duration.
All right. So anyway, we find out that there was a second Will Riker. And of course, there was a, you know, techie reason why it happened. But they're the same.
No, but before that, I like the fact that when Riker comes and he meets Riker, and it's clear that there are two Rikers that are exactly the same.
Yeah.
And it's like, who are you? I'm Will Riker. But no, you're not. I'm Will Riker. You must be lying. They immediately turn to the idea that I don't believe you. You must be lying. You must be sitting here for the last 8 years pretending to be Riker. I mean, what's in it for this guy? You know, you turn up at the place, you know no one's been down there, and you're accusing this guy of squatting and having taken over your identity on the basis of what? Although, having said this, as I'm speaking out loud, wasn't this actually the plot of Aquil a few months back?
Oh, the dog?
Yeah.
It was Aquil, who then was the bad guy.
Yeah, so maybe they learned their lesson from Aquil, and they really needed to grow him.
I don't know. But the problem is they needed to get the database from the station working. So they decide to use Lieutenant Riker to help them do it.
Okay,
of course, he's not traumatized by what happened.
Why is the database so important? I never quite got what was so essential in this database.
There had to be some information they didn't want to get in somebody else's hands, maybe. It was vital.
Yeah, they never really... They never went into detail about what the data was. They just pressing that it was important. That's all you need to know.
Yeah, It seems like, in my mind, there are two states of important here. It's either not important enough to go on a rescue mission 8 years later and send people down in a potential hostile environment, or it is important that you've probably got scientists working for a way to get this back, starting 8 years ago, and they probably found the solution 2 or 3 months down the line. So it's either not important, or it should have already been got if it is important. I just don't see how, you know, how it's like you drop your keys somewhere and go, oh, yeah, next time we're around this part of the country, we'll remember to look. to me, it just didn't make sense.
Well, this is how important it was for them, is that they have three opportunities, and in the first two, they beam down and they spend half the time just discussing what they're going to do.
Yes.
You know, in reality, you would plan this stuff out. You would take down like 50 people to make sure you had enough time to get it all done. But nope, we've got 10 minutes and we're going to beam down and discuss the first five while everybody stands around looking at each other about what they're going to do.
I don't know about beaming 50 people down, because if it doesn't work, they're going to be down there for 8 years trying to figure out who's going to eat who first. Okay. So, but before they go and get that data, there's something that has to be done. Deanna, who hasn't seen this guy, Deanna Lieutenant Riker hasn't seen for 8 years, would like to go down and talk to him and, you know, gauge his stability. And what's the first thing he does as soon as he sees her? Grabs her, snatches her, assaults the hell out of her like crazy, you know.
I had that written down, too. I was like, he just goes and kisses her. Oh, my God. He's going to get arrested.
I mean, he should have ended up in HR at least once for that. But, no, he didn't.
It's yeah, okay. Who runs HR? The other Riker runs HR.
The other Riker, right? HR. Yes, that's right.
He's setting very bad precedents.
Yeah, that's true. He does. But what's really more interesting is she doesn't really push him away. I mean, she goes for it too, it seems. Or she just, you know, let him get it off his chest. Well, it's a good thing that she didn't let him continue for after 8 years. I'm surprised they were still standing after 2 minutes. I mean, how far would she have let him go? Because he just handles her like crazy. But
okay. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, he
hold on. Her. We're getting there now.
Yeah. So, okay. So, as they say, Lieutenant, it's been a while since Lieutenant Riker had to punch a clock, huh?
Well, before that, he was talking about how he was looking over Commander Riker's service record.
Yeah.
And he was saying that that he got a promotion for the gallant service and evacuating this colony. That is just, I think Lieutenant Riker deserves that same promotion then too, because he did the same thing.
Absolutely. Logically, that makes a lot of sense.
So he should be a lieutenant commander now, because
he should.
That should have been his promotion as well.
Should have been. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, would he have taken the Ares? Because that's another thing. You know, what's funny is that Lieutenant Riker does even bag on Commander Riker that he took these promotions instead of being with her. What was more important? Oh, yeah, his job, right? Yeah, of course, that makes perfect sense. And so what happens at the end of this episode? I got offered a job, and it's a really good one, and I got to go. but there's another thing we never knew. I never knew, at least. You have to wait 6 months before you bring your families on board. And so you'll come with me. But will I? I mean, do you really think I will? Or will you want me then? He does the same thing that Commander Riker did.
That seems pretty cruel, too, when your mission is one that will take 6 months to get there.
Yeah.
That just seems cruel.
Yeah. So...
Yeah, why 6 months? That makes no sense.
It's a long way away.
Yeah, but, I mean, no. So why is it that he has to wait 6 months before getting family on board?
You know, I thought about that. Why would it make sense? Maybe it does, because you're in a new ship with a new job. Maybe they want you to focus on what you're doing for the first 6 months before you have family distractions.
Okay, so you're telling me that when Crusher joined the Enterprise, she's not allowed to bring Wesley on board, despite being a widow. I mean, it makes no sense, right? Wesley was there.
Well, she's also the chief medical officer. He's just a lowly lieutenant.
Special dispensation.
Yes.
Yeah. Plus, spoken to my line manager.
Well, plus Picard, I'm sure, would have wanted his son on board anyway, so. Nothing to say about that one, huh? Okay. And of course, they have to get in a few jabs about Dad. Poor Will the Second. He does not like Daddy.
Yeah, he seemed a little incredulous that they were able to patch things up a few years ago. And I was like, why would you do that? I couldn't imagine talking to him like that.
Nope. You disappoint me. Okay. All right, so Lieutenant Riker begins a little scavenger hunt for Deanna with little notes and flowers. That was cute. Did you guys like that?
I don't know how in the world LaForge missed that being on the warp core.
We're talking about LaForge here, right? The same LaForge, or are you talking about a different one?
He directed the episode. You'd think he would have had his character be a little more reasonable than that.
Okay, so maybe LeVar Burton is Geordi the Forge. I don't know. I mean...
But I love that. She grabs that off the warp core, and then he just sits there staring at it like, what the heck?
What's that about? Nobody would have thought to say, hey, Leffler, what's this? Leffler, where are you? Oh, that was quite a while ago. Never mind. Clancy. I remember Clancy. What is this?
Gomez. Get over
Gomez.
Here.
Gomez. Yeah, there you go.
Whatever happened to Gomez?
She went to see everything. She wanted to see everything as quick as possible. But she bumped into too many walls. That's the problem.
spilled too much hot cocoa on captains.
There you go. Yes.
Boy, those clues were pretty difficult to decipher too, weren't they?
Oh, no, it was terrible. How she, I mean, she is has to be very smart to guess these. But, okay, so what ends up? A box waiting in 10 Ford, and inside a carefully phaser card painting of Genera Falls, where they spent their first night together.
Yeah, when did he grab this?
He said he'd been painting it for a long time, or he'd working on it.
No, I think he grabbed it out of the replicator as soon as he got to his quarters.
He said it was very hard to get the phaser tuned to do this right.
Well, no, and I'm sure it would be, but I'm wondering, like, both times that he's been down there, he was pretty much taken back to the Enterprise by surprise, so he didn't, like, have a chance to gather his belongings.
Yeah, you would think that.
So I'm like, when did he grab this and bring it back?
Yeah. Or maybe he stole the one that the original Wrecker made for her as well. Wow, that's great, Will. Now I've got two of them.
What?
No, you don't. No, you don't. All right, so what do you think about Riker doing an end run around Riker and going to Picard about his plan? For some reason, I don't think either Riker would have done that because they're too smart for that.
No, I think it's... I was just surprised that... is the other Riker supposed to be in Starfleet still and be under Commander Riker's responsibility? That wasn't clear to me. It wasn't clear that there was...
First thing he did was put on a fresh uniform.
Yeah, okay, sure. So he put on a uniform.
He didn't even go to civvies or anything first. He went straight back to the uniform.
Oh. Yeah, but that's still an interesting point. Riker came back. This guy was created in a transporter accident. Why does that automatically make him a Starfleet officer?
No, I'm happy for him to be a Starfleet officer. I'm just not sure how, our Riker can claim this guy as working for him. I mean, did he join the Enterprise crew?
I guess it could be a problem if you suspect he may show favoritism, but clearly Commander Riker was not showing favoritism to this man.
I think if you're looking for like a military reasoning, I think it's the rank structure. Commander Riker outranks him, and Lieutenant Riker volunteered to assist with this mission, mm-hmm. so that put him under the purview of the Enterprise command structure.
Yes.
That would be my, the mind canon about it.
Yeah. Well, either way, Picard agreed, and yeah, that's what we're going to do. Very well, sir. But I'm going to have a go talk with him. And they do. Boy, do they do.
Oh, we skipped over. We were going to talk about the transporter chief.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Dr. May.
Dr. May Jemison.
Yes.
She is the first astronaut to have guest starred on Star Trek. She was the first female, first black female astronaut to go into space, and she guest starred on this episode.
Yep, and they put her in the transporter room.
Well, hang on. Yeah. Is that meant to be said in a derogatory sense? Where would you want to be if you were on Star Trek?
What's her? I don't know what's her...
the transporter room than be at Con or be sitting next to Wesley. Transporter room is the place to be, right?
Oh yeah, I mean they had to replace O'Brien.
Mm-hmm.
But what's her specialty in NASA? I mean, what did
astronaut.
She do? Duh.
No.
Do you need an additional specialty than an astronaut?
No, what I'm saying is you should find something that matches what she actually did in real life. I don't know.
Hold on a second, I'll tell you. I did know this, but it's slipping my mind right now.
Uh-huh.
Hey, Jemison.
So anyway.
She is... She has degrees in chemical engineering from Cornell, general practitioner. So she's a doctor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So put her in sick bay or something.
don't call in Nurse Ogawa and have her play the nurse. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, have her go down as a doctor.
And you want
there are other doctors.
Another cute little Star Trek connection. She was on the mission STS-47. I wish I was making that up.
Oh, man. Funny. I don't know what that means, actually. Okay.
That's the shuttle missions, right?
Yes.
Right.
The space shuttles.
Oh, I'm at 47. I don't know what 47 is.
Well,
oh. Yeah.
The Star Trek reference for 47?
Yeah, sure, I don't know that. Yeah. I'm just going to repeat that until I've said it 47 times. So little Riker shows up at the Klingon exercise room where Troy and Crusher are working out.
And no leotards this time. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I was disappointed. Purely disappointed.
And so was Riker.
Yes. Yes. Because he saw that episode, too, while he was down there.
Is it just me or did that come across as real creepy that he just showed up like that?
Showed up like that. Bull. Computer, where's Deanna? She's working out in the Klingon exercise room or something like that.
So do you think the computer actually says that?
Probably.
So, where's Deanna? Oh, she's working out. She's now also quite sweaty.
Yes. Yes. She's smelling pretty good right now if you want to go get her. Okay.
Well, show the computer
to get there quickly.
The computer is programmed to respond like that when Riker asks.
That's true. Yes. Computer, beam me outside that door and I'll walk in and pretend like I was, you know, just walking here the whole time. So anyway, but as soon as he walks in, what's Beverly do? Well, I think it's time for me to go now. Why? Why does she got to run out? He's only there to work out. But he compares what she's doing with her Klingon exercise with another exercise, and somehow, I don't know, it's the craziest thing. They land on the ground, and she's on top of him.
Yeah, purely by accident, I'm sure.
Purely by accident, yes. And she doesn't say, excuse me, I'm sorry. I'm going to get up now.
It's more along the lines of, while we're down here.
Yeah. Have I told you lately?
Okay, Lou, can I use, 30 seconds of this for a bit of therapy?
Who needs therapy? But sure, go ahead.
I need therapy. I think we all do, but okay.
So we're obviously in lockdown at the moment, which means we're not actually that active at the moment. Which means that, first of all, I'm pretty sure I've put on a hell of a lot of weight.
How many kids do you have? Anyway, go on.
But the thing that the wife is doing, she's got the entire house up every morning to do yoga. Now, I'm not a yoga kind of guy. But what's worse is that because we're involved in the kids, she's managed to find this thing on YouTube where there's this woman that does a yoga set over a 35-minute window that retells the narrative of Disney's Moana. And I don't know how long I can carry on with this. This is horrendous. I don't know if it's like, by the way, to be very clear, it's not officially Disney licensed yoga here. And obviously from the household's perspective, it goes by the name of Moga. But it's not good. It really isn't good.
Do you say yoga or Yoda? Okay.
You've piqued my interest. I'm gonna have to look this up now.
No, let me. I will find it for you, and we can put it in the show notes. This is a wow. It's certainly something.
Okay, send me a link and I'll put it in the show notes. Okay. All right,
because they need more views on this nonsense. Which is odd because we were doing so in the UK at least. There's a gentleman that's doing a PE lessons for kids called Joe Wicks, and we were doing them for about 3-4 weeks or so. And those are actually quite good. They're like, you know, a bit of exercise, bit of stretching for the children, get themselves into a get them out of the daily rut. But this yoga stuff is horrendous, and the woman that does it, and I hope she doesn't listen to the show, is absolutely insane. Absolutely insane.
Well, she doesn't anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you heard that, just send it to james@thebattlebridge.com. I don't even know if that's an active email anymore. Okay. So hey, basically, they wind up on the floor, and they have to cut the camera before the rating of the show has to change. Meanwhile...
We're left to decide for ourselves how far it went.
Yeah, Beverly walked back in. Hey, I forgot. Oh, no. And walked out.
Yeah, I was going to say, they didn't lock the door, so anybody could have walked into the gym.
Probably Alexander. There's another thing I want to do, Papa. Anyway. Meanwhile, in 10 Ford, Upper Riker is standing as Deanna walks in, and as soon as she says something, he tells her, hey, you want to be with him? What do I care? Go for it.
He was very reasonable for a human, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not convinced that I'd be so reasonable if my clone came back and started hitting on the wife.
I don't want to be with you. I want to be with a person who's exactly like you.
But less successful.
But definitely not you, though.
Yeah, right. Definitely not you, but... Yes. I mean, they did say he is exactly the same in every detail. Fully functional, I assume. But here's another question.
8 years out of practice.
Right. How do I ask this question?
Carefully.
Well, I mean, because think about it. You know, what if some day down the road, Lieutenant Riker commits a crime, his DNA is all over the crime scene, and they come after Will Riker instead? How did he possibly get out of it if all the evidence points to him? But, you know, like he steals a runabout someday and holds somebody hostage. How will they know for sure that?
Come on, be realistic. What are the odds something like that would ever happen?
The stealing the runabout? Yeah, no. Because they have triple security checks. You know, but then again, Riker might have security access to top secret things. But whatever. When we get there, we'll talk about that particular one. Why would Riker have secret access to secret things? Okay.
No, but yeah, he did seem surprisingly okay with the idea of Troy hooking up with his doppelganger.
Yeah. He seemed like it, but I'm sure that
yeah.
I'm sure there was a mother. Oh, you know, Data does ask a very interesting question of Worf. How would you get along with your double?
This is a great question.
I thought it was interesting. Murder suicide of some kind.
Interesting coming from Data because he's experienced that before.
Yes. That's what I said. What, did you not forgot about lore?
Yeah.
But how would, you know, what did Worf say? Would go so good.
I'm not easy to get along with.
Yeah, that's it.
Data's like, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's true. What? What do you mean by that? Oh, yeah. One of the Worfs would have been dead for sure.
Oh, did we want to talk about the poker game?
Yeah. Yeah. First hand, the first hand they play, the first bet Worfs are pulled.
I love Worf in this. Yeah, as soon as there's any money on the table, he's like, fold, I'm out. I need four cards, and they did nothing for me.
Nothing for him at all. Are you sure you need four? I just said four. Give him four. Fold.
I do like how bad Worf is at poker. It is fun, right? It's like... Also, the idea of folding, I mean, clearly that's dishonorable. So the way he behaves is completely anti-Klingon. I do love it.
He was still hurting from the hand before where Riker bested him with that full house, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah. I don't know what he called it something, but he didn't say full house. I don't
know. It was a two pair. It was like, I forget what it was, but yeah. Worf got bested by him, so I think he was still hurting from that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
But what did Lieutenant Riker come to the quarters for? He said, I thought you'd be alone. And Commander Riker's like, join us. They play the hand, and then Lieutenant gets up and walks away. What was he there for?
Maybe to have it out? You've been mean to me since I got here, and I want to know why. What would Riker say? Jesus, I don't remember being such a putz.
But I do have I like this scene. This scene's good because you can see we never learn who actually won or who would have won, but you can see both of their positions, right? So you know that you know, you have Commander Riker that's very confident, thinks he's sorted out. He thinks he's, you know, he thinks the other guy's bluffing. He kind of knows he hasn't been dealt as good a hand. I really like how this plays out. And it's also good that when it does play out, you don't get to reveal who indeed has won. Because then again, what you end up with, right? You end up with this idea of, well, who actually does have the better hand that has been dealt to them. Is it Thomas or is it Will in this particular situation? So as a way of kind of wrapping up the story of the episode into a poker game, this is pretty nice.
Except for one thing.
Go on.
I don't see either Riker saying, I don't want to play anymore and take his ball and go home.
You know, you always had it better.
Yeah, you always had it better than me. Gets up and walks away. Nah, man, that don't make any sense to me.
Well, of course, Commander Riker was playing poker like a punk. Yeah. I hate these guys. I'll call your 100 and I'll raise you 10. That bugs the heck out of me when I play against somebody like that. Yeah.
So I never played poker. What's the problem with raising 10? Is it not raised enough? Or should you call or what?
Well, it's more along the line you should bet in kind. You know, if somebody is raising the bet by 200 or 300, you splashing it by adding an additional 20, I don't know. It's one of those things. It's not really against the rules, but it is something that kind of bugs me a little bit. I don't know why.
Okay. So then for a guy who used to work at the casino, one thing I will say, I never had to watch a poker game because in the casino I was at, they didn't have it. So I guess I never really learned much about poker.
How do you not have poker at the casino?
I was
not
just going to ask that too.
No, well, because there's two casinos that are in the same family. One of them has a dedicated poker room.
Could I ask another question? did they have alcohol and girls in the casino as well?
Oh yeah.
Okay. No girls. Girls were not allowed in the casino.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, no. Yeah, wearing uniforms. I mean, they take themselves serious, but yet they have these women dressed up in such a way that most of their chest has to be shown so they can give them a Miller Lite. Yeah, that's BS. I would never want my daughter to work there, I'll tell you that much. Anyway, the point is, Matt, when you're raising and you're raising, oh, I'll see your 100, and I'll put in 200. I'll see your 200, and I'm going to add 300. And
right.
At what point do they call? Could they is
you
one
can
of them,
call if, it. You can call at any point. You don't have okay. to keep raising it.
Good. So let's say he raised it 200, and I say, well, I see your 200, and I'll call. Does that end the raising, or could he say, "No, well, you got your 200. Now I'm going to do 300 more."
Yeah. Once everybody has an equal amount of money in the pot, then it stops there. It's when it's an imbalance that it has to keep going.
Oh, okay.
So if I bet 10, if you want to keep playing, you have to either put 10 in yourself or more.
Okay.
And if you put in more, then I have to put in more to either match you or go above that.
Mm.
Could you ever put in a stake that the other guy can't meet? So could I say, I see you 100, but I raise you a billion? Or is that against the rules?
Well, it's like how this game ended. He says, I'll call what you did, and I'll raise you whatever you've got left.
Right.
That's how generally it would work. And so if the guy only has like 50 left, and I've got 300, well, then I'm raising it by 50.
Mm.
That seems like a bit of a kind of bad etiquette, right?
Convoluted to me.
No, but it doesn't seem nice to raise it by his, and you know, because you're basically saying that, you know, I reckon that I can get you out of this game and send you home.
Well, mm-hmm. You're trying to get the other person to be all in, you know, where they have all of their money in the pot, and that's how you knock people out of the game. If you get them to make that bet and they lose, then they're out. But if they win, then they've gotten a pretty good substantial pot. And that's just that, you know, that's the way the game is played.
Well, so Data went out. He folded, or he bended.
Yeah, Data didn't want any of this. He was like, I'm going to stay out of this.
Yeah, right. But, it, you know, like I said, it's Worf. Yeah, fold. Jeez. Oh, here's another question. What are they playing for with these chips? Because they seem like they're so serious, like, you know, yeah, you just screwed me out of that one. I mean, what are they?
Well, that was the other. That was the other point. Yeah, if there's no buy-in, if you're just handed chips, they mean absolutely nothing to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just play them all and then say, okay, I need more chips. You know, no problem. Here you go.
I mean, they sat the lieutenant down at the table and just handed him a stack of chips. And they played one hand, and he walked out. So, yeah, the chips really didn't mean much of anything.
No, he took his ball and went home. Okay. Yeah, because, you know, he always had it better.
At everything.
Okay, so. Anyway, Rick, let me see something. I have to make sure I'm on the right.
At this point, he goes and talks to Troy about his assignment.
Yes, he has a new thing that Picard found for him on the Gandhi, and he leaves in a week. And of course, history is repeating itself. He's doing the same thing that, you know, Will did.
Okay, so is it justifiable what he's doing? Because I always feel that it's different this time around. Am I out of step here? Or do you read this as, Troy being abandoned by another Riker?
I do read that, yes. Yes.
Well,
because he said, he even compared him to Commander Riker's service record. You know, hint to him, promotions were more important than you. And here we are now. What's more important now, her or going on the Gandhi? And what she's saying, oh yeah, if this time maybe you'll have me join you, but then again, she also says, I like it here. I'm comfortable here. I know everybody here. I don't want to go anywhere else.
Well, so one thing, why didn't Thomas Riker just hang around on the Enterprise?
That's what I was going to say. You know, to his credit, had Commander Riker not been on the Enterprise, I think Thomas Riker would have had absolutely no problem staying.
Well, yeah, of course, but no, you don't want your twin there who's obviously more celebrated than you are. I mean, what's he gonna do in jobs?
So, you know, I get why he feels he has to leave. So, but like I said, you know, to his credit, he would have stayed had the one other person he couldn't stay there with wasn't there. So that could have changed everything. Had Commander Riker not been on the ship, mm-hmm. things could have turned out very differently for Troy.
Yeah, exactly. You're right.
Yeah, but really, I mean, why does it matter if the other Riker's there? Well, he's just, you know, Thomas Riker feels bad about wandering around and seeing the clone of himself doing better. I mean, just, you know, spend the weekend in the, just hang around, read a good book, stay out of the way, and see if a transfer comes through, or, you know, or something better for you and Troy. To me, it didn't make sense that he was like, oh, I can't stay on this ship of 1,000 people with him.
No, he can't. I agree with him. Well, it depends on which one you are. The one who's got more glory, the one who everybody really likes, or the one who's now doing a menial job with everybody seeing him. Look at him. He gets to mop the floor while the other guy sits on the bridge.
Well, I wouldn't phrase it like that. I would say that whilst the other guy's risking his life going down onto, you know, onto away missions and getting in the firing line, he's with Troy in bed together. I mean, am I missing which one's the better position to be in?
Well, see, now you didn't phrase it like that, so that's different. So, yeah, okay, yeah. I'm seeing that now. No, seriously, I couldn't be on the ship where I find my double is doing better than me, and I would just feel like a complete idiot walking around there as his leftovers. Mm-mm. No, especially to have him in charge of him too.
Right? Yeah, you'd be his subordinate.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't want that, whether it's legal or not.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, having your brother be your boss. You wouldn't want that. You really do need to, you know, as good as you are in your job, you really need to be in a different department.
Conflict of interest there just built right in. Because what's he going to assign him to? Lieutenant Riker, you've got toilet patrol today. Well, no, he's not going to do that.
Well, I don't see him working, you see. I see him as a man of leisure, sitting around waiting for Troy to come home and, you know, walking around the Arboretum. And to me, that seems like a pretty sweet deal.
It would be interesting if he, like, gave up his job, but he does get 8 years back pay of some kind or whatever it is.
So. This seems like it should have fallen under that whole, just like Picard after the Borg thing. It seems like after this, he should probably be taking some time off.
Yeah,
even if it's like a week or two.
Well, you know, we got the holodeck. Spend a week in there. I bet your Riker would. Okay, so anyway. So, Picard found a job. He leaves in a week. And, of course, history repeats itself.
And Troy had another uniform change.
She brought back her old uniform.
Yeah, she's back in the purple jumpsuit thing again.
Yeah. Huh. Did she not? I mean, in my mind, I don't know if this is true, but I thought that she changed this specifically to be more alluring. Or did I just make that up?
Well, it could be.
Because she specifically, we don't see this for so long, and then she, you know, comes back in her her old jumpsuit when she has a love interest.
Well, this episode stood out to me because you're just used to just everybody always wearing the uniform all the time. But in this one, it started out where they're in the civilian clothes and 10 forward for the jazz thing. Then she's in her regular uniform. Then she's in that workout thing. Now she's in that. She had a lot of wardrobe changes in this episode, which you just don't normally see. I don't know what I'm trying to say there.
She probably spilled chocolate on a couple of them, and, you know, because she's a little giddy now. Okay, so one thing I noticed, what do you guys think of the having both Rikers on screen? I mean, they did a pretty good job of hiding one face while the other face was on. But it was so obvious.
For the most part, I thought it looked pretty good. I thought they did a really good job having both of them. It was just in a couple of spots, like at the end of that second trip down there where he spins them around saying, I gave you an order, Lieutenant. I mean, at that moment, you can obviously tell it's a split screen. You know,
you can see it there. But I agree. I think that they do pretty well on this. And they have a couple of shots because I think that on the DVD, they had like a special feature on this and how they did it. They do a couple of things where Riker walks around Riker, which is hard because the easiest thing to do is just keep people on the opposite sides of the screen. Right. But there's a bit where Riker walks around Riker, which is a single shot. And then there's a shot at the end where Riker drops off trombone and then Riker picks up trombone. And that's hard because you're effectively, you're merging the two into each other, which is tricky. So I thought they did okay. The only thing that I do know, and once you see it, you can't unsee it, is that right at the end where Thomas Riker stands up after having nearly fallen into the giant chasm, the stunt double doesn't get his legs out quickly enough. So you can actually see one Riker in the front. So Commander Riker still on his belly. You see Thomas Riker standing up, and then you see an extra pair of feet where Thomas Riker was, you know, a mere seconds ago. Mm. And that's something that doesn't that's still there, by the way. It's something that has not infuriated me, but it's a slight problem with how that was filmed.
Hmm. I never realized that.
I just looked it up. This was LeVar Burton's very first directing job.
Mm.
So to have these kind of technical challenges like that with these, you know, the split screens for the first episode you ever do, that's actually really impressive that he was able to take on so much there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. So let's see here. Hold on. I lost my place. Dang it. All right.
But I think we're on the third trip down, and they're going under the base.
Yeah, and they almost fell to the bottom of the cavern. But they make it because they, you know, they work together and did a really good job, even with the extra pair of legs.
So right before that, there's the whole, hey, I'm detecting a radiation leak. Commander Riker goes, throws a switch, and then they say, okay, the leak's gone. What was the point of that?
So I suggested that they have a switch here, which is radiation leak on, off.
I mean, it was 30 seconds of this episode. It was like, served absolutely no purpose.
Mm-hmm. What I think it was, is that it allowed the successful Riker to tell the unsuccessful Riker that you give up. The reason why you were bounced off the atmosphere and materialized down because you gave up.
That's right.
Yeah, you're the weaker transporter, me. Yeah. I don't. It just seemed like it was just a slap in the face for no reason. I don't know what they were going there.
We always had it better.
I do remember reading that this did have an alternate ending. Did you guys hear about this one?
Oh, I'm not aware of that, no.
There was talk when they were writing this episode that they were actually going to kill Commander Riker and Lieutenant Riker was going to take over on ops and Data was going to become number one.
I like that.
I do too, and I really wish they'd done it.
Mm.
They were gonna have, I think, Commander Riker was gonna actually fall down. There would be a Lieutenant Riker at Ops, and Data would become Commander, second in command.
No.
I thought that would have mixed, because it doesn't change your cast; it just shuffles them around the bridge a little bit. I thought that would have been a really interesting way to. I would have been curious to see how they would have done that for the rest of the series.
No.
What do you mean?
I don't see that.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Oh.
You don't think that would have been awesome?
No, I don't. You can't take Will Riker off his job. Just kill him off.
I mean, Luke, we've just literally watched a TV show of Star Trek where they kill off the captain and replace him with an exact clone that happens to be a robot. So, well, why is this any different?
I guess we'll have to take a look at future episodes that Riker was prominent and say, does it make sense then?
I mean, this sounds a lot like the Harry Kim replacement, right?
Where right.
Harry Kim actually isn't Harry Kim.
It's no, he's not Harry Kim. And they never discuss that again.
Yeah, but maybe they'll do the same thing here. One episode, Riker's second in command. The next episode, he's on con, never to be spoken about again.
Right. Do you think they'd call Data number? Do you think Picard could even call Data number one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think so. I mean that was where he was going, you know, at the end of Nemesis. Had he survived?
You know, that makes about as much sense as Riker losing all his memories and all his learning, and he has to be taught how to read all over again, and by the next episode, he's his normal self. Nothing ever happened. That would be completely insane.
They would never do that to a character on Star Trek.
Oh, it makes no sense.
Crazy.
Oh, 7 days later, you're just like new. Or better yet, take your brain out of your body and bring it back in with a few bruises, because they probably dropped it on the floor a couple times.
McCoy didn't drop it.
Those ladies did. As soon as they got the brain out of the head, the teacher, you know, didn't give them enough knowledge and said, what do I do now?
I don't know. What is brain?
Yeah, what is brain? And they don't know what to do, so they just drop the brain. Anyway. So,
no.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I play that out in my head, how that would look for the rest of the series if it was a Lieutenant Riker suddenly.
I don't feel it at all.
I don't know. I think that would have been a really interesting twist.
Because Riker is so overpowering that Data screaming, red alert, wouldn't mean anything. It doesn't mean the same thing as when Riker does it.
Yeah, but then you see Data come up there and put his leg up on the console like that.
In Riker's face. Now that I could see. Okay, yeah. Having Data's crotch in Riker's face. I don't know if it would have the same effect.
I learned it from the best.
Yes. Commander, why is your leg on this? I don't know. I learned that from another Riker.
I thought this is just what the second in command does.
Yeah. And as you see Data thrusting that in a circle around his face, that's what Will used to do. Anyway. So let's end this episode with a gift from Will Riker to Will Riker.
Oh, don't forget, they got their data. They got their information they were looking for.
Oh, yeah, of course. Oh, yeah. Was there any doubt? I mean, they almost died for that data.
Well, I mean, we just wanted to make sure we got that clear, you know, that we don't have to go back 8 years from now and try again.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, they got it. I think Spot was left on the planet, but it's okay. It'll be fine.
Nobody will miss him. It's okay.
Who cares? Just create another cat. All right. So let's end this with a gift from Will to Tom. A trombone. That would have been funny if he said, I don't play that.
I gave that up years ago.
Yeah, I gave it up years ago, yeah.
Yeah, I've been trying to quit.
I gave that up at the same time I gave up women.
No.
Years ago. Okay, so that even brings up another point that I shouldn't even be bringing up. But what do you think Thomas Riker was doing down there for 8 years? No women, no holodeck. I don't know if there's a holodeck. Do you think he had needs? I mean,
he was making repairs.
Yeah. First thing on his list, holodeck.
No.
Computer, Playboy Club, please, hurry. Anyway.
No, but to go back to that, if he'd have just picked that up and belted out Nightbird, that would have been the way to end the show. It really would have. It would have brought it all back around, back from the beginning.
Yeah, that would have been interesting if he knew how to do it. Okay, so, well, and I guess we're at the end of this. I can't think of anything else.
Mm-hmm. Well, or he decides to go by his middle name.
Yes, Thomas.
Which I think this is the first time we ever figure out what the T stands for.
I think so.
Is that right? Because I was thinking that the thing about, obviously, you know, William T. Riker and James T. Kirk is that at the back of my mind, I always assumed that he's a Tiberius Riker. Actually, have I ever mentioned that I think I nearly managed to get the wife to agree that we would call one of the kids Tiberius as a middle name, but that you know, whenever I managed to get her to buy into that, we had girls, so oh well.
Just keep trying, buddy.
That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, but don't you have a James Jr.?
No, I don't have... okay, so... Okay, no, I'm not going to say anything because...
She can hear you?
No. I find it strange to name your child after yourself.
Oh, okay.
Is what I was going to say. So... I don't mind family names, but I'm always a bit surprised when people have kids and they are exactly the same name, and including like middle name as well. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, your first name, your middle name, and your surname, and the second. That's odd. But I've now made this statement with the potential of either of you having done so. So yeah. I acknowledge that people's personal preference is a matter for themselves and their spouse.
Well, would you think different if you were James Robert II or the third junior, or I mean, if you were the junior, your dad was James Senior. I mean, then would you go for a third?
I mean, I don't know, and it's hard to answer that question. But I think that there is an issue, at least in England, of it culturally not being. It's not culturally what is done.
Oh, okay.
So you don't usually name your kids after you now. You know, having said this, in high society, what you'll generally be trying to do is to become like, you know, the Earl of Chichester or something, at which point your son then does become the second Earl of Chichester. So maybe that's why we don't have that. Maybe it's because effectively, you know, we have inherited, or at least we have had inherited titles and things like that. So
I see.
You don't have to name the kid. You don't. You know, Prince Charles doesn't have to name his kid Prince Charles Jr. because they don't get known by those names. They get known by the titles instead.
Well, okay, yeah, but I still look at James Tiberius Kirk Roberts as a missed opportunity.
But I will say, if I ever had a son, we were going to call him Thomas William, but that never happened, so I never got the chance.
All right. Okay, well, I think it's time for our final thoughts and ratings on this episode on a scale of 1 to 5, with 1 being the worst and 5 being the best. So, Matt, where you want to start us out at?
All right. This episode gave us a little bit to think about. Because it does kind of make you think about the road that you didn't take. You know, would things have been different had you had something different had happened to you along the way? Would you have been a different person? So it's kind of fun to think about that. If I had zigged instead of zagged, or if something had happened, you know, would I be where I am today, or would I be someone completely different? You know, so this kind of gives you the chance to reevaluate that. It's pretty much a bottle episode. There's no real guest stars to it. There's no new sets. You know, nothing outrageous. It wasn't a big production thing. But it was fun. It gave you something to think about. You know, gave you a chance to explore these relationships. I like this episode, so I give this one I give this one a 4.
Okay. All right.
That and you get your first guest star of an actual astronaut, which kind of set, you know, there've been others, there were others down the road in different shows, but this one was the first with Mae Jameson. So
what about Stephen Hawking? That's pretty damn special.
Stephen Hawking's not an astronaut.
No, but okay. He does have the distinction of being the only one to play himself on the show.
Yeah.
On any Star Trek, he's the only one who has Stephen Hawking as himself.
They actually got Professor Hawking on this show. That's where you know this became good. But... Okay, so, okay, well, that's good. A four.
Well, no,
so,
I'm sure Stephen Hawking wasn't expensive, by the way. I mean, I doubt they were holding out for more money.
So what do you think they paid him?
Nothing.
A free upgrade on the CPU that runs his wheelchair? Or the phonetics that he, program that he uses?
He never wanted a, he didn't want the upgrade.
Mm. Okay. All right. But then again, he was on Big Bang Theory, what, three or four times? So he did pretty good. All right. So my final thoughts and ratings, and it's a very good story. I like it. I completely would, even my dogs really enjoy it as well, I'm hearing, supposedly. I'd completely freak out if I found I had a double of me somewhere. Especially if my double ends up doing something illegal and leaves DNA for people to find, then I get arrested. It wouldn't be nice.
You know, I have heard that some identical twins do have DNA that's so close as to not be able to be differentiated.
Wow.
So there are some serious situations like that that could potentially happen.
Well, yeah, especially if he was to join the Maquis. I'd be even worse. Okay. So they may figure out later that it was actually Thomas and not William, but still, he could do some damage in the process. It's a very good, pretty good sci-fi conundrum. What are we going to do with this guy? I guess they just take him in Starfleet and let him continue on about his job. But
right. He's not a clone. He's not an imposter. He is Riker. I mean, he has every right to claim that right as the other one. There is no differentiation between them.
No. But, it's weird that, he's got two ranks on top of Will or Thomas. So, but considering how fast Will rose through the ranks, I don't see why Thomas couldn't have done the same thing had he not gone rogue later in life. That we'll get to in another podcast, James.
Hang on, one second. So Riker's career has really stalled, right? So he's senior grade lieutenant at this point. Mm-hmm. He then gets locked up for 8 years.
Yes.
Then he comes back out. So if you go back to 8 years, Riker's a lieutenant, a full lieutenant. After this, he becomes lieutenant commander. And then we know that within a year, because that's when he gets posted to the Enterprise, he's a full commander.
Yes.
And then he goes 16 years as commander? I mean, I think Thomas Riker could have kept he could have waited for the next cycle to get him out and still beat that our Riker to Admiral. I mean, our Riker's really stalled in the career stake.
Yeah, he was happy with where he was. He didn't want to leave.
Right. He was comfortable aboard that luxury liner.
Too comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so anyway, in the end, I agree with Matt that I do believe this deserves a 4 out of 5. All right. So, Doc, how about you?
Okay, so I thought I was going to be alone coming in at 4 out of 5, because I love this episode. I think it's great. I think it's technically well done, except for the legs that we see. It's also nice to see how the characters react differently to the Thomas Riker character. So you get a moment where, like, Picard comes in and he introduces himself. And the way that Riker, as in Jonathan Frakes, Thomas Riker, behaves towards Picard is different depending on whether he's playing Thomas Riker or William Riker. Mm-hmm. And that's a really cool detail. He also treats Crusher differently. He treats Troy, obviously, differently. So I think this is a great example of what can be done if you just, ask that theoretical question that, what would happen if, within the Star Trek universe? It's all very believable, and we learn a lot about, I think we learn a lot about Troy in this episode. We learn a lot about the Riker relationship that Troy had earlier on. And I think it asks, great questions. So yeah, I was very, you know, I'm not a Riker fan. The idea of Thomas Riker replacing Riker is a great one. But this is, yeah, this is good. This is a really good Trek.
Okay. Good. 4 out of 5 for you as well. Absolutely. All right, Matt. Well, thanks for coming on, buddy.
Well, I appreciate you having me back.
All right. So as far as season 7, we've still got quite a few open. So, you know, you got your pick from Liaisons, episode 2, all the way down to Inheritance, episode 10. So think about if you want some of those and send me an email with it. And even if somebody else is on, you know, we could put a couple people on, so it wouldn't matter. Cool enough?
That sounds good. I'll look it over. See what we got. I'd love to come back.
All right. So, Doc, anything else on your mind? Or sleep? Is sleep the only thing you got going on right now?
No. I've been, this week's been horrendous at work, and I've been shifted in terms of my work patterns. I've been up past 3:30 on 3 separate nights as I've been clearing stuff. So I don't have a body clock at the moment.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
One thing I did get, by the way, which is I'm still scheduled to go to Star Trek Las Vegas this summer. I got an email from them. And when it came in, like a lot of things, I was expecting it to be, you know, with regrets, we're canceling the show this year.
Yeah.
But they said, would you like to buy some more tickets? So they seem to be going ahead with Vegas this year.
Really? Now,
I don't know how true that is, or whether it's just that they're going to have to refund me a little bit later in the year. But I was expecting, because already like things like San Diego Comic-Con and other things around the same time have been pulled. But we're still in a world, we're still in a reality where Star Trek Las Vegas is still scheduled.
Okay. You know, what's interesting, Doc, is my sister is taking me and my wife to Las Vegas that week. I think, I'm not 100% sure what our days are. I think it's 7, 8, 9.
That's too late, I think.
Well, no, it runs from August 5th to August 10th.
Oh, does it? Okay.
So I'm saying that I'm going to find out the dates for sure, but or maybe it was 14, 15, 16, and we go, yeah, I think that's it. So it's a week after. So here's what I'd like you to do. Bring some crumpets and hide it somewhere in the casino and tell me where it's at, and I'll go get it.
Honestly, the problem with your border force are a lot scarier than the border force I usually deal with, mm-hmm. And I was not necessarily prepared to smuggle crumpets into the city or into the states.
Yeah, he did almost have a problem there.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Well, okay.
I was gonna say I thought I remember hearing something about this before. Then you tried this once already.
Yeah,
he had the crumpets in his room, and if I had just gone up, but we were like, by the time we had gotten back to the hotel, I'm like, oh, I'll just see you tomorrow.
Crumpets do go off. Crumpets don't exist in perpetuity.
Yeah, I guess not. All right,
and I should probably point out that's probably true in the both senses of the word.
Yeah.
So only the English will pick that one up.
Right. Okay, guys. So, hey, thanks again, Matt. And so, for everybody else, join us next time as we review episode 25, and that's Time...
What's wrong with Timescape? There's nothing wrong with Timescape. It's not a funny name.
I think he froze Escape. The time. So there you go.
What?
Dude, you just, like, paused for, like, 30 seconds there. Are you okay?
My internal chronometer isn't showing anything wrong. I think it was you.
It probably was.
Yeah, yeah. So join us then, guys. And we probably have Mark Stamper on.
Yes, it's looking like it. That'll be good. Yeah. Thanks for joining us, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Aren't we ridiculous?